faith. This is my Bible. It is the word of truth. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can. I'm a believer and not a doubter. I'm a doer and not just a hearer. I am humble before the Lord. I'm obedient to the Lord. I am mature in the Lord. I'm enthusiastic about the Lord. I know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Our scripture comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, New Living Translation. It says, so whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this is going to be our second sermon in a series that we've centered around the theme of the year. We have dubbed this the year of precise intentionality. And we have defined intentionality this way. It's the fact of being deliberate. Somebody say deliberate. Deliberate or purposeful. Done on purpose. Now, we have a good example this week of what someone can do bad intentionally. Because that horrific act over in New Orleans this week was done on it wasn't an accident, and it wasn't unintentional. It was done on purpose. And so what we have to see is God expects us to do certain things on purpose for the good and not the evil. But when people are intent on doing whatever they're going to do, it can work for good. So precise intentionality is about deliberately aligning your thoughts, your words, your actions, and relationship with God. Now, the Bible doesn't explicitly use the term intentionality in a philosophical sense, but many scriptures emphasize the intentional actions, deliberate choices, and purposeful living which relate to the concept of intentionality. And we're going to see from scripture verses that emphasize living with intentionality, making wise choices and aligning actions with God's purpose and values is something that we should be doing. So I want to encourage you and exhort you to be intentional as you serve the Lord by doing things, I said, on purpose. Somebody say on purpose. That means you're deliberate in your action. For a purpose. Somebody say for a purpose. That means you got a cause, an aim, or a goal that is driving you. And then with purpose. Somebody say with purpose. With purpose, talk about your attitude while you're doing it. You got to have the right attitude while you're doing it. So today I want to subtopic this message, the intentional fast. Can somebody subtopic that with me and say that? So I want to inspire and encourage you all as we start our fast on tomorrow to set your mind on being intentional. Now, we got some little journals over there, and I want to give out today after the service, and you can journal if one per family. If we have more, everybody can get one. It is also available online, will be available online, to kind of encourage you and inspire you as we go through this 21-day fast on purpose. Now, it started on the 6th on because we want to give you time to get New Year out the way. We wanted the college football games to be over. So that you wouldn't have we even made sure that we didn't take it through the Valentine's Day. So the dates that we chose were done on. And the expectation is that you're going to fast on. Now, fasting is the discipline of going without food or certain foods and sometimes drink for a period of time in order to devote oneself or one's your time and energy to prayer and meditation. Fasting is an act of self-sacrifice. Somebody say self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice that should be done with sincerity, enabling spiritual strength and growth to take place. So while you're in fasting, you're going to have to intentionally seek God. You got to spend time praying. You got to spend time meditating. And you're going to have to do that on. It's not going to just happen. Amen. Unless you purpose in your heart that you're going to do it. And because fasting teaches discipline, it will remind us that we can live without a lot of things. Amen. 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 You can live without Netflix for a week. Amen. Amen. Zubi or whatever they call it, the Gumi and all them channels y'all got now, you can live without them for a couple of days. But you got to put your mind on something else. Because if you don't, that story, that show that you like to watch is going to just get on you. So you have to intentionally say, I ain't going to watch that tonight. I'm going to spend some time meditating, praying, on purpose. And so I want us to see that it's important for us to come in agreement when it comes to this fast. And I want to read into your hearing from the book of Joel 1:14, something to kind of announce the fast. Since the Bible showed that they announced fast, we're going to announce driving fast. Is that all right? And so when you hear this, I'm going to define the dates and the limits. It's announced, and now it's going to be up to you to do what's required. Amen? Amen. Now look at it. In Joel 1:14, the Bible says, announce a time of fasting from the 6th through the 26th. Y'all got the announcement? Amen. If you got the announcement, say amen. Amen. From the 6th through the 26th. Then he says, call the people together for a solemn meeting. This is it. If you ain't here today, this is your solemn. If you're online listening to me, this is your solemn. Bring the leaders. How many leaders we got in the house? Amen. I know all the leaders ain't here, but if you're online leaders, raise your hand so folks know we got the leaders in the house. We're doing what the Bible say. Bring the leaders and all the people. Where all the people at? Man, we following God's word. And all the people that ran to the temple, well, we ain't got no temple, we got striving. To the temple of the Lord your God and cry out to him there. In other words, you know, we're going to have to spend some time praying, talking to God. Amen. So when I preach today, y'all need to be talking back. This ought to be like a conversation. Amen. Because you're in the house of the Lord, you know why you're here, you know what I'm talking about, so we ought to just come in agreement on some things from the word. Is that all right? So now in the Bible, there are basically three types of fast. I'm not going to go through all the scriptures that I have, but because I want to get to a point. But there's an absolute fast, we're not doing that one, where you go for a period of time or a number of days where you eat or drink nothing. You find out a couple of times Moses did it, Esther did it, and then another recording that Paul did it. Pastor Bonet asking you to do that. Amen. Because some of y'all are struggling to get to lunch right now. So I'm not asking you to go to that extreme, Adrian. That I don't want you to intentionally go without eating anything or drinking anything. And for those of you who are on medication, I need to say this too. If your medicine requires you to eat, then eat. Pastor Bolden, I tell you to defy what the folk telling you, who the doctors say eat, you eat. But it don't say you got to eat all day. Just when you take the medicine. So if you only take it once a day, y'all follow, fill in the blanks, don't be scared. Tell it for somebody who got a pill bottle at home and say, once a day, that means to you for the next 21 days, eat once a day. All right, let me move on. Then there's the normal fast, and that involves total abstinence of food, but you can drink liquids. And there's a couple of times in the Bible where normal fasts are done. You one recorded in Samuel, one recorded in Luke. And then the third one is what we call and we'll primarily focus on is a partial fast, which is commonly referred to as a Daniel fast. And it emphasizes restriction of diet rather than a complete abstinence of a diet, of eating. Amen? Now, in the book of Daniel, I'm going to set it up for a little bit by talking about it, and then we'll move on to something else. In the book of Daniel, chapter 1, and I'll read when I start reading verse 10 through 20, the Lord allowed King Nebuchadnezzar to besiege Judah and then to overtake Jerusalem. And once he did that, he took some of the sacred objects that they worshipped in Jerusalem from the temple. And the king also ordered his chief of staff to bring some of the young men who were there and bring them back in captivity, and put them in captivity. And he wanted to place them in the palace and indoctrinate them into the king's court. In other words, he was going to bring some of these Hebrew children back with him, young men, and then refocus the way they think. Like, you know how they put us in basic training? You know, that 8 weeks was designed to indoctrinate you to the military way of thinking. And after those 8 weeks, you're supposed to come out doing certain things a certain way. So they was going to indoctrinate these young men into the king's court. And he wanted them to select strong, healthy, good-looking young men. That wouldn't have fit me. I wouldn't have made the cut. I'd still be in Jerusalem. I would have got left behind. And that would have been. But anyway, some of y'all would have made the cut. Strong, healthy, good-looking. And he wanted to make sure that they was well-versed in learning, in all branches of learning. He wanted to make sure they knew the sciences, the arts, the literature, as well as math. And once they was there, they was assigned food from the king. In other words, he chose their diet, told them what they was going to eat for the next 3 years while they was in training. But when they got there, Daniel and his friends, you know, we call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but their name was Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You know, kind of like when you go in slavery, they change your name. So we have learned them by their slave name more than we know them by their real name. And I said this last year, you know, kind of like Kunta. Uh-huh. Yeah, some of y'all too young for Kunta. But some of us who saw that, we know how, you know, Kunta fought not to be called Toby. He knew how important his name was. See, that's what you do when you indoctrinate people. You change certain things about their culture. Change their names. Because once I can change your name and redefine you, I can then control you. But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and drinking the wine given by the king. And the Bible says that God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel, but fear, somebody say fear. Fear caused him to not go against the king because he knew that the king would probably kill him. But that didn't deter Daniel because he intentionally now pleaded his case to the chief attendant, or some of your Bible say the chief, the eunuch, which would have been the person that was responsible for their training. So the top guy said, I can't do it. I love you, Daniel, but the king may, you know, chop my head off. But now Daniel go to the attendant who's going to be responsible and say, hey, let me cut a deal with you so that we don't have to eat the king's food. Now, you know, on purpose, Daniel was going to give up what most would have been considered good eating. You know, when you can eat from the king's table, you eating choice. You ain't eating chuck. You eating choice. You know, I remember coming up, there's the difference between chuck steak and choice steak. They got select. So when you eat from the king's table, you get the best cuts. That's right. But Daniel said, I refuse to defile myself by eating and drinking from the king's table. So in verse 10, it says, we talk about the chief eunuch. And the chief eunuch and the chief of the eunuch said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So look at this. Daniel's intentionality show up in verse 11. Look at this through 13. So Daniel said to the steward, the chief guy said no, but the steward is the guy who's going to have a day-to-day operation over Daniel now. So said to the steward, whom the chief eunuch had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for how many days?
10 days.
See, y'all ought to at least test yourself for 10 days and see if you feel better after 10 days eating God's way. See if your blood pressure go down after 10 days. See if you drop a little something after 10 days. See if your mind get cleared up just a little bit. After, we're going to do it for 21 days because later on he talks about the 21 days. But the 10 days was just a test. Because it was an easy way not to put the chief attendant now in jeopardy. Because, hey, we're going to be in this training for a long time. Just test us for 10 days. So if it go bad in 10 days, you can still put us back on the king's diet. So he says, now, please test your servant for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water. Can I hear that B word? Vegetables to eat. Now, you know, if you want to drink some juice for your electrolytes or whatever you want to have to have, since you claim you got to have them electrolytes, all of a sudden now y'all going to be on an electrolyte attack because Pastor said y'all need to drink number water. Pastor, I need my electrolyte. Well, they got water with electrolytes in them. But I'm not going to check on you. I ain't going to hold you to that. But you need to give up the coffee. Can I get amen? Your nerves will be all right after 2 or 3 days. I'm telling you, you'll be all right. Especially if y'all going out there paying $7-$8 for a cup. Just give it up. 10 days. That's $100. Uh-huh. At least 50 if y'all go to Starbucks and want to play like that, you know. Latte, double whipped, all this, that. Can we give it up for 10 days? Can I get a hand clap from the coffee drinkers in the house? That's 10 days. He says, boy, I know I'm going to get in trouble with Daniel. Don't get me in trouble with the folk, Daniel. Look at the verse 13. It says, then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so determine, so deal with your servants. Just a 10-day test. Look at this, the consent, where he came in agreement. So he consented with them in this matter, and tested them 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their features appeared, somebody say, better. And fatter. Now, fatter don't mean they gained a whole lot of weight. You know, you know how you say your face looks more flushed, you look. You know how you look like, I guess, you know, sometimes people walk to, man, you just look like you got the glow on you. I don't know what the glow is, but folks just see the glow. So after 10 days, some of y'all just gonna be glowing. I mean, just going to be glowing. Don't go say, well, you just got that look. 10 days. And if you ain't glowing, then Pastor Bone says, start eating. If you ain't glowing, just trust the Bible for 10 days. Now, you got to do it this way. If you ain't glowing in 10 days, you don't feel like you got no glow, start eating. Go and get your pork chops and your chitlin. 10 days. Somebody say 10 days. But I believe you can do it for 21, amen? So he said, after 10 days, then he says, thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine. The wine. The wine. Mm-hmm. 10 days. No wine. Now, you know, if wine off the table, so is beer and strong drink. Can I get amen right there? I know we ain't got no wine drinkers in the house, so I'm just talking to this piece of paper up here. But just in case there is one, somebody said 10 days. He says, and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Now look at this, verse 17. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill and all, somebody said literature and wisdom. You know, literature is a method of recording knowledge. You know, if you like literary work, you got to read. Amen. Oh, you got to listen to a lot, but I prefer reading. So, you know, for the next 10 days, maybe you ought to start reading some literary work. You know which one of some of the best literary work in the world? You got all kind of literary work right here. Poetry, prophecy, letters. You want to learn how to write a letter to somebody? I ain't get too much amen right there. Y'all ain't catching this. You got to read this for 21 days. You got to spend some time in this literary work that God left for you. So all that other literary stuff you reading for the next 21 days, substitute it with. You don't need to read the newspaper. The magazines you're getting in. Find your article in here and read it. Amen. I'm not asking you forever, but for at least for 21. I ain't got no way to measure that. That's going to be between you and the Holy. Boy, but I wish I could be a fly on the wall. Just to see what you read. Where you're spending your time. Because the literary work you read impact your mind. Right. So he had to be skilled in literature and wisdom. It says, and Daniel had an understanding in all visions and dreams. In other words, Daniel had the ability to interpret dreams. God had put a prophetic anointing on Daniel's life. And he could interpret dreams, which is going to play out to his advantage later on. Now look at this. In verse 18, it says, now at the end of the days, somebody said the end of the days. That is not talking about the 10 days. That's talking about the 3-year period. He says, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. In other words, look at this as the vetting process. All right. You know, after you done been through your training for 3 years, now you got to go and stand before the king. And you got to display to him what you learned in those 3 years so he can give the stamp of approval for you to go to the next level. Y'all see it that way? Amen. He says, now look, then the king interviewed them. That sounds like what they're doing to some of them folks trying to get jobs in the government now. They vetting some of them and find out all kind of crazy stuff. That's why you vet folk. In God we trust. Everybody else you check out thoroughly. The king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. So they got the job. Now look at this. And the Bible's in verse 20 say, and in all manners of wisdom and standing, about which the king examined them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in his realm. In other words, Daniel and the Hebrew boys proved that they could be better without even eating the king's food. You can be better without even eating some of the stuff that you think you got to eat. Amen. You will be better by not drinking some of the stuff you think you got to. Oh, Lord, I know it's going to be hard because, you know, fasting and changing lifestyle is a sacrifice. And there are certain things that we have become addicted to. And the very things that we are addicted to, most of those things are not good for us. I got a sweet tooth. And I know I should not be eating as many cookies and sugar, eating as much sugar as I eat. So that's one of my goals. That's one of my aims, that after these 21 days, me and the sugar are going to have a conversation. Because right now, sugar winning. I'm going to have to put some prayer and some fasting on the sugar. Amen. So after 21 days, I'm hoping my sugar habits have been drastically on purpose. Amen. Now, all of you got to set a goal. Because if you don't, you will not do it. I don't care what kind of book we give you. I don't care what kind of prayer, meditation we got in the book. We're going to even have a little 30-second commercial for each one on each day. You'll hear pastor, you'll hear minister, you'll hear trying to encourage you. It don't mean nothing if you don't plan on doing it on. So you're going to have to set it in your heart and mind that you're going to do some things on purpose. Now let me move on. Now, I'm going to chapter 3 of Daniel. Now, time passed, and Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom grew. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar was about the most powerful man in the world at that time. And I want to close by most of this by taking a look at Daniel's friends now in their interaction with Nebuchadnezzar. See, Nebuchadnezzar had got the big head. And he did something that caused the three Hebrew boys to intentionally disobey him. See, he thought he was God. So he went out and had a 90-foot statue built. Gold statue, gold something. They say it was about 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide. And he put out a decree, a command in his kingdom, that any time they heard the sound of music, any kind of instrument, it didn't make no difference whether the harp or flute or trumpet, any kind of instrument, when you hear the sound of the instrument, somebody know the story. They were supposed to fall down and worship. And so the boys knew that would go against what their God required. So they disobey. Sometime you're going to have to intentionally disobey Satan. Amen. Because you got to know what God requires of you versus what the world requires of you, what the devil requires you, and what that sugar requires of And if you don't set up it in your heart and your mind that you're going to disobey it, it will control you and tell you what to. You waking up in the middle of the night craving, and you ain't pregnant. I'll give you a break. I'll give you a break if you're pregnant. But you, bro, you ain't got no business. You're supposed to be sleeping, getting your rest, and now you won't let a growl wake you up. Whatever it is, and then go to churning. Sometimes you just got to disobey it and say, we are not going to do anything that go against what my God said. When the devil come at you, sometimes you're just going to have to disobey him. And when you disobey him, you got to be ready for the consequences. Amen. Because when you walk with God, there's always going to be opposition on the other side, and there could be consequences when you make a decision that you're going to do things God's way. So when they defied the king, you know, that put him in a, you know, they talk about spaces now, Adrian. Everybody got a space, you know, so I don't know what a rage space looked like, but it put him in that space. And you know, when you can put a king in a place where he get in a rage, you don't really did something. I mean, because the king, you know, he had to live and carry himself in a certain way. But when these boys said, we are not going to bow down, that got next to that pride, man. That got next to him. Adrian, look what he says here, verse 13. I mean, chapter 3. He says, then Nebuchadnezzar flew. Somebody say flew. Flew into a rage. Have you ever seen somebody just fly into a rage? I don't know what that picture looked like, but y'all don't see it, folks. I mean, you know, they were just cool and calm 1 minute, and then next thing you know, they just don't. They done went from 0 to 100 in 3 seconds. That's, and you want to know, where did that come from? And he said, what did I do? What did I stick? I must have, you know, some of y'all husband and wife done just flew. Just flew. You didn't see it coming. It just flew. Everything was cool and calm. They just, I thought we were smiling 5 minutes ago, but just. So the Bible said, then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true? Man, I done heard this thing, but is it true? Man, I don't want to believe it's true because you guys are pretty good news. Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and the bad Negro? That's how we said it in the Baptist church when I was coming up. I learned that from my Baptist roots. You know, is it true that you refuse to serve my God or to worship the gold statue that I've set up? I mean, are you doing this on purpose? You refusing to do what I say do on? Man, is that true? You got the nerve to do that in my kingdom, and I'm ruling the world at this time? Is that? Look, God Almighty. But he liked these boys because look what he said in verse 15. I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instrument. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then, what God will be able to rescue you from my power? In other words, he thought he was God. He thought his power exceeded the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the true God of the universe. He thought his power was greater than his. So he wanted to know, what God give you the audacity to refuse to do what I've said you should do? But look at these young boys' intentional response. Then it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. In other words, we don't even need to talk about this, king. I mean, you know, this is a shut case. This is closed. And we don't need no long discussion. We don't need, you don't need to sit here and have a conversation and dialogue back and forth. We don't even need to have this discussion, king. Now, you know it takes guts to say that to the king. Amen. You don't need to waste your time with this discussion. We don't need to defend ourselves before you. He says, if we are thrown into the blazing fire furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. Somebody say, he's able. He's able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't. But you know, I can see this attitude. Now that's, you know, that's that attitude that come out when you're doing things on purpose. You know, you talk to a king, you got to have a little attitude. You got to go in there, you know, with your big boy pants on, your big girl pants on. You can't go in there like, you know, whip you before the king. Now, you know, you in a situation where you're going to lose, but you might as well lose fighting. And trust that God can help you win when the odds are stacked. So you done got that. Now, he said, now look, he said, but even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear. Good God Almighty. You know, sometimes you need to just let folks know that you finna make some things. I'm going to stop talking in riddles. I'm going to stop confusing you. I'm going to make this. Sometimes you need to tell your children that. Stop throwing hints. Just say, look here, I'm finna make this. Then they were nice. We're going to make this clear to you, your majesty. But then they come back with attitude that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. Now, you know, the king is highly upset. And so his word is on the line, so he has no choice but to put them in the fiery furnace. Because before I start reading in 23, the Bible says the king was so upset, Adrian, that his face became distorted. You know what? You know, have y'all, any of y'all ever looked at y'all face when y'all get in a rage? Somebody must say, ooh, mama look just, where did that look come from? You know what a distorted face looked like? Just this. You know when folk just, you just got to start reading folk faces. They just get distorted. Man, he said his face got distorted. And he was so angry that now as he get ready to throw them into this furnace, he got so mad that he set the thing 7 times. Good God Almighty. It was so hot that the guard who was putting them in got burnt up. Y'all know the story. Yeah. See, some of y'all know the literary stuff in the books. Y'all tried to play me. Y'all just let me know that y'all know what some literature. Amen. So, Fabe, they said, Fabe, I can use you. I'm going to let you be the guard. You know, somebody in the movie got to be the fall guy. So since I wrote the movie, I'm going to let you be the guard. And so therefore, Fabe, you taking me and my friends in. And Fabe, your role is when the door opens, you get burnt to a crisp. You know, somebody got to die early. So you gone. So y'all imagine, now y'all got y'all imagination. Fabe done opened the furnace up. Fire comes out, Fabe, he out. He ain't give a 10 minutes in the movie. He gone. Okay. Then now, the Hebrew boys, me and the two boys, we go in to the furnace. Look at this. In verse 23 says, so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied. The Bible, you know, they had them tied. They weren't so they couldn't move and walk, but their upper body, they say they were securely tied, but they was fully dressed. And then, but look at this. They were securely tied, and they fell. Oh, my God. Y'all missed that word. Into the roaring flames. Fabe dead. He gone. I go in by myself, me and my boys, and on purpose we know the position that we need to be in when we want God to move on our behalf. Some of y'all better learn how to fall down before God and let him know what you need. There's nothing wrong with you beginning this year on your own. Not that somebody got to throw you down there, but because on purpose you want to. They fell into the roaring flame. But suddenly, verse 24, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisor. Now, you know, for a king to jump up out of his seat, that was kind of uncomely, you know, because he's the king. But now what he saw amazed him. He says, didn't we tie up three men and threw them into the flames? In other words, what I'm seeing is going against my memory. I remember what happened 10 minutes ago, and 10 minutes ago it was three put in, but now what I'm seeing is messing with my. Oh, God can do some things that can confuse the enemy, that can mess with his mind, so that your mind don't always have to be perplexed. So three men tied up and thrown into the fire. And his answer, they said, yes, your majesty, we certainly did, they replied. Then the king, my Bible got the word, look, somebody said, look. Shout, look. Look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted. Now, you know, for a king to get up and shout, that would be undignified. You know, kind of like some of y'all in church today, shouting is just undignified. You know, it is. You know, for some of y'all, if Pastor Bo said, just shout. But right now, can I get y'all to give me an undignified praise for just about 30 seconds? Just shout. Just shout. Just undignified. Just shout. If this heathen king could shout, surely somebody who know the true and living God can shout. Shout. Oh, glory to God. We can learn a lesson from this heathen. If he had the audacity and had the nerve to see that he needed to shout, surely all of us who are saved ought to know every now and then we need to. See, I shouted. I see four men. We put three in, but I see four men. Unbound, I mean they set free. Walking around in the fire, unharmed. And the fourth looks like a god. Some Bible say it looks like the son of. I think that may have been what inspired one of the lines in the song, you know. What is song, Faithful? The one we like, Adrian, that we sing all the time. I say, I trust in God, my Savior. We're going to play it in a minute. And then he said, didn't he say something in that song by, and the fourth one in the fire? He must have read the story. And went out and wrote a song about it. And put that in his story. So what I'm trying to tell you, look here, the Bible is full of stories that we need to take and apply to our lives and make music and make it work for us. He said that the fourth looked like a god. Then look at this, the call of the king. Verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted. Somebody say he shouted again. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look how his attitude. Now, this ain't the guy who's had rage and all grumble up in his face. Now, his attitude done changed. You know, God got a way of changing folks' attitude. You know, when they get so high-minded and so high, he got a way of bringing folk down. And so God can change some attitude. He said, now look here. He shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Look, Pee-wee, a king shout. Man, I just wish, you know, sometimes, just wish we can do something to make God raise his voice. We want to send a praise up to make God the King of Kings, sitting on the throne, can look down at little old striving and say, yes, they giving me a good praise today. Yes, they offering up a true worship that's sweet smelling. Call out, God, if they can make this heathen king. Shout, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the, and look at the king's witnesses. Now, you know, when he come out, they come out the fire, they got to let other folks see what God done did. So that when they leave there, they can go talk about what they have God's always looking for somebody to be a witness, to tell about what he has done. The king set this up. So when these folk go back home after their meeting with the king, they're going to have something to talk about because they have seen something they'd never seen before. How do I know? Look what he says here. Then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw. Somebody said they saw. When you see things with your eyes, it takes some believers. You know, because some people say, if I don't see it, I ain't going to believe it. So now God's going to show some of y'all something, and you just going to have to believe it because God did it. Yeah. Amen. Some of y'all just need to see something. And if I'm telling you, if you open up your eyes during this 21 days, I believe God will show you some things that you would not normally see, but you got to be expecting God to do something that you've never seen. Go into the fast with an expectation that God's going to do something in your life that you've never seen before. And so therefore you'll have a testimony about the power of God. And people will see a difference in you, and then they will have a. Look at this, man. He says, now, and the advisors crowded around them, and they saw that the fire had not touched them. Adrian, he says, not a hair on their head was singed. Now, you know that's power right there. Yeah. You can go into a fire and your hair don't even get singed. You know, sometimes you can, the pressing comb. Uh-huh. You know, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You know that hot iron or that thing. They got a handful of your hair in their hand. Why? Because that comb just. Y'all get what I'm saying, don't you? And this is what they said. Hey, they was in that fire and not one hair went. Not one hair. Not a hair on their head was singed. And their clothing was not scorched. Yeah. I don't know, you know, back in the day, sis, you know when you're ironing, you let the iron get too hot. And you touch something, and then you look down, that scorch mark, that iron print, right? Said their clothing was not. And that last one, Brother Fennell, Sister V, they didn't even smell. Oh, my God. You know, I remember back in the day when I was a young airman, and we used to shop at them discount stores. And you can always tell when they done got stuff from a fire sale. You just go in there and just smell the clothes. Oh, this was in that penis that burnt down over there. They trying to get rid of a cheat. I don't want no smelly clothes. But they don't discount. Take them and put them in the laundry. But no, they smell. These boys was in the fire and they did not even. Some folk who still hang out there in the. Do they let you smoke in clubs now? They still let you smoke in clubs? They must do because they smoke everything else in the club. So they gotta smoke something in the club. I don't think that this club is smoke free. So you go to the club, not you, but some of your friends. They go to the club, and then they come hop in the car with you, and you go, you smell like herb. You smell like weed. Not none of y'all, but some of y'all friends. I'm just trying to make it plain to you. So when folk around smoke, they know them to smell like what they've been on. Now get rid of the smoke and think about the folk that you hang with. If you hang around smelly folk, I know y'all going to get quiet. All right, let me come over here and talk to you, Brother Rodney. If you hang around smelly, you're going to start smelling like what you. Let me get back to the story. Let me. I'm taking too many literary privileges right here and there to the text. But I just want to make it plain to you. They did not smell like smoke. Now look at this. After they got to that point, and they didn't smell like smoke, the clothes weren't singed. The hair wasn't singed. The clothes weren't scorched. Then look at the king's praise. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants. How many know God is still rescuing his servants today? Amen. All you got to do is do what God said and trust him. Trust in God, and he can rescue you even in the midst of your trials and the trouble, the things you go through. God is able to rescue his, but they got to trust in him. Look here. The king said they defied the king's command intentionally and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any God except their good God Almighty. Man, their intentionality caused the king to put out a decree. Because of what they did and how they refused to bow down to his God and to him, and they were willing to die rather than do that, then the king said, therefore, because of that, I make this decree. If any people, somebody say any people. So he must have had a lot of folks in his kingdom, and they may not have all been the same nationality, the same race. He says, if any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word. A word. A word. A word. Against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb. And their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. Why? There is no other God who can rescue his people. We serve that God that can rescue his people when they're in the midst of the fiery furnace, when they're in the midst of the trials of life, when they're in the midst of all things going south in their life. There's a God out there that can. And he can bring you out of it. Like somebody wrote in a song, Adrian, that you don't look like what you. Good God Almighty, God is able. You got to just believe that just because you've been through some things in your life, you don't have to look like what you don't have to sound like what you've been through. You don't have to act like what you've been through, because God has brought you through to be a witness, to be a testimony, to let somebody know that God is able. God is able, and there is no other God that can rescue like our God. Good God Almighty. I'm through. Just give God some praise. The Bible say the boys got promoted. The king gave them a promotion because they intentionally stood up for their God. So I just dropped by today, Charlie, to tell you at some point in time, you just got to trust God. You're going to have to believe that he is able. Give God a hand clap of praise.